forum for frank talk about what people do for a living. Works Do.
Hello, and welcome to Works Do. It's October 4th, 2011, and this is episode number 21. I'm Kate Gase-Walton. I'm the editor of Works Do, an online collection of essays and interviews in which people ponder their work lives. Today's episode features an interview with Scott Erner. Scott makes a living writing closed captioning for adult films. That's a pretty unusual job, which is one reason I wanted to interview Scott. But I also think Scott's part of a bigger theme in the work world, which is that many of us end up doing jobs we never planned on. Sometimes they're jobs that we didn't even know existed. And yet, as you'll hear from Scott, they turn out to be pretty good gigs. Tonight, I'm talking to Scott Erner, who lives and works in L.A. And Scott, thanks for taking the time to talk to me.
Sure, thanks.
So as you know, I think, Works Do is all about giving a glimpse into what different people do for a living. And I was told, Scott, that you had a particularly unusual job. And so let's just start with that. What do you do?
I closed caption pornography for the hearing impaired.
So I'm curious about a couple of things. I guess first, let's start with how did you get into that line of work?
Well, you know, we were at our last recession. It was in 2000. I got out of graduate film school. And basically, the only job I could get was doing regular closed captioning in Hollywood. And it paid okay. And as I got better, it got better. And I was able to go freelance over the last 5 or 6 years. And I really was out of work about a year ago. And I came across this ad in Craigslist for a closed captioner, and lo and behold, it turned out that it was closed captioning adult material.
And so what's that like? I mean, first of all, what's involved? How do you go about doing that? I assume you watch a lot of porn.
Yeah, well, people that can't hear, they watch porn as well. You know? Mm-hmm. So I provide, you know, closed captioning is you provide all the sound effects and the dialogue that's involved with any program. It's a law in the United States. It's really Section 305 of the Telecommunications Act of 1996. At that point, everything in our country, we're really the only country that has this, everything has to be closed captioned that goes in and out distribution-wise, in and out of our country. So even pornography has to be closed captioned, and you wouldn't think there's a lot to closed caption, but, you know, I basically, in general, fast forward through the sex scenes and close caption. You know, I don't always fast forward, but I basically fast forward through the sex scenes and close caption the dialogue that leads up to the sex or the interchange in between sexual positions. I'm responsible for close captioning the little chit chat and whatnot that ensues.
Got it. So has this pretty much ruined porn for you? Like after a hard day's work, do you just want to settle into a good episode of Masterpiece Theater or something?
Well, yeah, you know, after watching porn over and over and over again, day after day after day, I have concluded that it's not fully safe.
Okay.
I like to think like a large portion of my brain is suited for like creative capacities, and after watching so much porn, which by definition and reality has no intrinsic creative value, it begins to replace the space designed for creativity in my brain.
Interesting. So going back a little bit, how did you actually get into closed captioning? I saw that you actually went and taught closed captioning in India, so there's clearly, you know, more involved than people like me understand. How did you acquire those skills?
Well, I went to UCLA. I did English Lit, and then when I got out of graduate film school in 2000, I got a job closed captioning, and it was something I got really good at. I'm exacting as far as grammar and spelling and all that, and I got better and better. And then I got recommended. All of a sudden, I was in India teaching closed captioning, which was crazy. And that's a whole story in itself, but that's, you know, that's a different issue. We could do, I might go back this year and actually for a different, for Technicolor and go teach over there again. But anyway, I got into it. I just needed a job and it was something I could do. And I like it because I'm a writer in general, and it makes you focus on sounds, and it makes you focus on specifics of what's going on in the scene and the whole world, not just what people say, but what you hear as well, just everything that you hear. You know, and people, I have a new respect, like people that can't hear, they rely on good quality closed captioning, and I provide that, even in the pornographic sense.
Right. So, how do you distinguish good closed captioning from not so good closed captioning? I mean, I saw part of your role is quality control, right?
Yeah, I've done quality control. That's what I usually do. I've been in management positions. It's real simple. You know, a lot of people, I tell them that I do closed captioning, and their first response is, wow, there's a lot of mistakes. And then I always respond, well, you're watching live closed captioning. That's like the news. There's always mistakes with the news. I do offline closed captioning, which is, you know, DVD, TVs, movie shows, like everything. So we get it ahead of time. So ideally, it's supposed to be exact and very specific. So bad closed captioning isn't just mistakes. It's really just not. It's just being very general. So like even the porn closed captioning, I got hired because they brought me in and I did a couple, like a sample movie, and they were blown away how like specific I was. They had never seen like moaning and then moaning intensifying, orgasmic moaning, and then moaning subsides. You know, I take the viewer through the orgasm through sound.
So you are a master of the onomatopoeia.
Well, that's a nice compliment.
That's why I think you should position yourself. So one thing I ask everybody, and I'm very curious to know from you, is just how do you feel about the work you do? Do you enjoy it? Are you happy with your work life?
I'll tell you what. I'm very happy with it. basically because I work for a company. I won't say their name. They're a great company. They do pay on time. But I work for a company where they're giving me 30 movies a month, and I get about 200 a movie. Mm-hmm. And they cut out – this is a company that they edit and distribute the movies, and they cut out almost all the dialogue. Mm-hmm. There are some movies – I'll get 3 or 4 a month or 5 or 6 that have quite a bit of talking. But in general, it's like – some of the movies only take a half hour to close caption. And, I mean, I like the money and it gives me a lot of free time to do other creative things.
So we were talking before we started the interview and you mentioned you pretty much have to work at home. This is not the kind of stuff you can do in a Starbucks. So, is that your work day? Is you work at home for the most part?
Yeah, I do work at home. And I can't go to Starbucks, and I used to. Like, I like, you know, I mentioned one of my other employers is Technicolor, and I'll go, and I'll get a Stargate, you know, SV1 or whatever it's called, and I'll type that in, you know, for 6 hours, and that works great. And I can crank it out. But this material, I pretty much have to keep it at home unless I can find, like, a dark corner where the screen has no windows behind it.
Right.
Which I do know a couple coffee houses that do have that, and I have gone there and worked occasionally. But in general, those seats are taken, so I don't even try. But, yeah, I have to work at home. I wake up. But what is nice is I find unexpected free time while I work. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm working on the clock, and many times I'll just – because, you know, a large part of the movie is there's no talking. So I'll just let the movie play, and then I'll listen to the audio with the speakers on, waiting for a dialogue line, and I'll walk around my apartment in my boxers, like getting a glass of orange juice, checking my emails, doing sit-ups, all through like sexual moaning is going on, but as long as like there's no dialogue, I can just like, you know, I might just do those things until I hear something like, hey, baby, why don't we move over to the couch and do the taxes? And then I might continue with what I'm doing, but then I know go back and rewind and then like cue it up to that little gem.
So Scott, I would like you to be very truthful about one thing.
Sure.
So when you are writing the closed captions for The Moaning, which you mentioned you do extremely well, you capture all the subtleties.
I try.
Are you doing that anew for every single movie, or is there some cutting and pasting going on from previous captions that you've written?
Oh, no. I tailor every movie specific to taste. Exactly. I swear to God, I go through because I'm already moving through this movie. There's not a lot of dialogue, so why not be very specific and exact?
Right. Okay. So no shortcuts, you promise.
No shortcuts. I even stopped where they were having a sex scene in a motel room, and there was church bells in the distance, and I typed in church bells in the distance. And now that wasn't intended. The people shooting the porno did not realize that there's a church next door. But I thought, like, well, I can hear the church. I think someone that can't hear should know that there's a church bell going off in the distance while they're having sex. However perverse that is,
mm-hmm.
I found it like, that was an unintended production sound.
Mm-hmm. And part of the atmosphere.
Yeah, I'll include. I found it quite humorous, but I mean, the editing, the sound editing isn't like multi-million dollar as far as these pornos go. So
Right. So one thing I want to ask before we wrap up is I was curious about the teaching in India. Is that because that's where most closed captioning is going to be done in the future? Is that what you see happening?
No. I went there and taught, and I'll be honest with you. It won't be done in the near future at all. And the reason I was the first one person ever to go over there and teach closed captioning. They do transcriptions,
mm-hmm.
medical transcriptions over there somewhat successfully. But in general, that's sort of straightforward. Closed captioning, though, is TV shows and movies. And the problem with doing closed captioning in India is that Indian people are never going to be able to learn American slang.
Mm-hmm.
So when they hear it, so when they hear anything, they're only going to be 80% right. So maybe they do it half the price, but then they only get 80% of it, and you have to have someone over here go over the whole file, and it takes two or three times as long.
Right.
So I was a test case, and I left, and there were six Indian closed captioners, and I think at this point there might be less.
Oh, interesting.
But it was a great trip. I mean, they tried to give it wasn't my responsibility to make a successful business. It was my job to teach and train them.
And I assume you were teaching using non-pornographic materials?
I was. I did think after I've been through this job, it would be funny to go back and teach closed captioning pornography to the young ladies and gentlemen in India. And I thought, that's almost impossible. It's like against their culture.
At the very least, it would be a good screenplay that perhaps you should be working on the side.
I started to sketch it out.
That wraps up the show for today. Thanks again very much to my guest, Scott Erner. Thanks also to everyone who's contributed an essay to WorkStew. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening today. The next episode will be released in about 2 weeks, and I hope you'll check it out. In the meantime, please let me know what you thought of the interview by sending an email to kate@workstew.com, by posting a comment on the WorkStew website, or by writing a review for iTunes. Thanks again, and bye for now.